I have the Spirit abiding in me. You have that same Spirit abiding in you. And so as we have the Spirit abiding in us, let's get together, our Father and us. Yay! Right. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. That has nothing to do with my talk, but I like the verse. Right? Right. I am going to look at four things, and the four things are for everyone. The word I had was everybody, the whole church, everybody, us here specifically. Okay? I'm going to look at the race. I'm going to look at the next generation. I'm going to look at honor and then revival. Sounds a lot. Right, the race. It was John Hilton that started me off on this because he was talking about relay races. Now, if you've got a relay race, this is my baton. This is the inside of a kitchen roll. You've got a baton and you run and you pass it on, don't you? Okay, but that's not the end of it because you then watch while the team goes around, and if they win, you're part of the winnings, aren't you? Okay. Now, races. I'm looking at running races, really, okay? And then you've got races for men, and the men are usually all the same age, and they're usually all the same ability because they've had races before, and then you've got the final, and then they run, and then there's first, second, and third, and then they'll have, on the podium, they'll have a medal, probably flowers, hopefully a mascot instead, okay? And the women the same. They're usually the same age. They've had all races beforehand, and then there's a winner, first, second, and third. Now, I am going to look at the Christian race, okay? As said by Paul. 1 Corinthians 9, I'm in. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that won't last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Yeah. Now, Paul's calling was to tell everybody about Jesus, okay? And he wanted to make absolutely sure that he didn't disqualify himself by wandering off doing something else. So he does talk about real strict training because he really wanted to just fulfill his call. Okay, now I'm going to look at this race. So Richard, can I have you out, please, Richard? Thank you. He's very kindly agreed to come out, Richard. Here he is, he's in the race. Yeah! Richard, would you come and stand here? Richard, are you in the race?
I started off thinking it was a sprint. But I realised it was a marathon.
Oh, yeah, so, I know.
Yes, I'm in the race.
You're in the race. Okay. Okay. No, 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 you got to stay there. You can stand if you like. You know, don't get out of breath. Bruno, are you in the race?
Definitely, yeah.
You're definitely in the race. Yeah. Definitely. Now, this race, as you can see, isn't the same as normal races because you've got an older man. And you've got a younger man racing against each other. Now, is that fair? Well, not in the world it isn't, but we're looking at God's race, which is somewhat different. Ruth, where's Ruthie? Ruthie, come here, Ruthie. Here she comes. She's been to Zambia with me a couple of times. Are you in the race, Ruth?
I am indeed.
She's in the race, and now really we got problems. Because we got a woman in it now. Tahila!
Oh, she's the winner.
Here she comes. Tahila, are you in the race? Yeah! She's in the race! Tahila, are you in the race?
I'm not running.
Now, this really is a problem. This is God's race. And it's for everyone, you know it is. I just had to do a demonstration of our wonderful, amazing God, our wonderful, amazing Father. Look at them. And they're all in race. Give them a clap. Thank you very much indeed. Oh dear. Right. I'm in the race as well. And when I was preparing this, the Lord said to me, I want you to put Heidi Baker next to you. And I thought, what? Heidi Baker next to me? If I put Heidi Baker next to me, that's me out. There's no way I can compare to Heidi Baker. And he said, okay, put Wigglesworth there then. I thought, I can't put Wigglesworth there. And, and then he said, but in my race, nobody compares themselves to each other, do they? You keep your eye on Jesus Christ, don't you? Yeah, you do not compare yourself to one another, no matter who's next to you in the race. Absolutely. So there's male and there's female and there's all ages. But you see, it's not just us. You see, all the churches in Taunton are in this race. All the churches up and down the UK, no matter what denomination, if they love Jesus, they're in the race. And then you might as well go all nuts and say, all the churches, anywhere that believes, anywhere across the world, is in the race. Ah, but that's not all. All the Christians that ever lived before are in the race, or were in the race. And that's not all, because all the Christians that will come till Jesus comes will be in the race, are in the race. Yeah. And guess what? There's one prize. Now, my son, Stuart, went to Monument Valley, and he said that at night time, a couple of nights, they just slept out in Monument Valley. He said one night in particular, it was so bright that he could see millions upon millions upon millions of stars. And he thought, how big is God? How big is our prize? How big is he? How amazing? How deep? How wide? How unfathomable is his love? And that's our prize. And we all get it. There's no first, second, and third. There's first. But there are also rewards. And I'm not even going to go down there because I think it's going to be amazing. If he says a cup of cold water, he doesn't miss a cup of cold water, that gets his reward, then wow. So, God helps us in the race. Everybody in the race. Get what? He gives us armor. Isn't that wonderful to have armor in a race? Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully, it's not like the medieval armor. It's more like the Roman armor where they could do a bit of running in that. And then you've got this massive shield. Imagine running with a shield. And then you've got a sword. Imagine Eli with a sword. Or any of Roz's little ones with swords running around like mad. Have they got a sword? Well, of course they have. They're brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They've got a sword. So here we are running. We've got helmet on, clanking as we run. And that's not all God does. In the race, he actually says, when you've done all, stand. No wonder he says his ways aren't ours, because they're just jolly well not. They're nothing like ours. You don't suddenly stand in a race, but you do in God's race. Having done all, it says in Ephesians, you stand. So Paul says you run with endurance. Now, I found out that in Corinth, this is just something I found out, they had these special games, and the highlight was an endurance race, and they trained heavily for this for about 10 months, and it was an endurance race. So he says run with endurance. Why endurance? Because we as a church want to finish the race right the way through. Passing the baton on to the next generation. Paul said he'd fought the good fight, he'd finished the race, and he'd kept the faith. So the race is for everybody, and now we're looking at the next generation passing on this lovely kitchen roll baton. So we've got to pass our batons on. Now, we have a core team here, and Simon stood up a little while ago, and there are four. For the visitors, there are four in the core team. Simon, Carol, Bruno, Shine, thank you. And they're the core team, they're the next generation. Now, we all have batons. There isn't anybody that hasn't got one. All right, we all have them. Now, there are about 80 people at the moment in the church here today, roughly. Now, let's say we decide, oh, we're going to pass our baton on then to the four, to the core team. Yeah, we're going to pass our batons on. Suddenly, there's 80 batons on the floor here. And they have 20 batons each. If we all decided, yeah, we'll give our batons away to the core team, they're the next generation. They'll have 20 each. What are they going to do with 20 batons each? I have no idea. And what will the rest of us do once we've done that? Go to Barbados? No. Let's look at the next generation. Now, a generation could be about 10 years, but it used to be 21 for the key of the door, and then it's 18 years, 17 years for learning to drive. I think you can stay at home from school and you know, be on your own at home at about 14 years of age, I think. So let's, for argument's sake, for safety's sake, that a generation is, say, 20 years. Okay? So, folks, if you're 100, the next generation down from you are those that are 80 and above. If you're 80, the next generation down from you are those that are 60 and above. And if you're 60, the next generation down from you are those that are 40 and above. And if you're 40, the next generation down from you are those that are 20 and above. And if you're 20-ish, the next generation down from you are all those that are growing up. Yeah. I'll say that again. If you're 100, next generation is. If you're 80, the next generation is. If you're 60, it's. If you're 40, it's. If you're 20, it's. So nobody's going to be retiring anytime soon, are they? No. We've got it. Father is keen for this church to be active. He is keen for this church to realize that is everyone, and we need to be looking to the next generation, to us. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you to do something now. I want you to do it quietly and seriously. Seriously, honestly, I do. Okay? In a minute, I'm going to ask you to turn around and look as many people as you can. But I want you to do it seriously. Don't turn around and go, do it seriously. Right? No, Joe. No. So will you please just turn around and look at as many people as you can? Right, thank you. You can look at me. I want you now to do the same, but I want you to stand up and do that. So stand up and look around at as many people as you can. Seriously, do it. Right. Now I want you to sit down and look at me. Thank you. You have just been looking at God's dream team. God's dream team is the body of Jesus Christ, which you are. You are a part. So let your batons pass on down to the next generation in this wonderful dream team that you are. Jesus went to be with his Father, and he left behind a massive body of Christ. Don't be deceived into thinking it's little. It is jolly well not. It's a massive body of Christ, and you're a bit of it here. God sees the team, and he sees the body which you are. The piece that they do in C of E churches, I wonder if it's called that, because actually seeing one another as we are, who we are, does bring peace to the body. Okay, handing on to the next generation. Now, funnily enough, the Lord's been talking to me about my death. Death. Don't panic, Joe. He's been talking to me about when I die, if he doesn't come. And he gave me, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you know, sometimes you get scriptures and it really hits you and you can't explain it. Everybody knows the scripture, but it meant that when I was born, I was in him. And when I die, it's going to be God. And I can't explain it. And then he said something else. He said, when you do, you're going to take everything with you. I said, no, I'm not. I leave everything behind. No. When you go, you take everything with you. I said, no, I'm not. I'll leave it all behind. No. You'll take everything with you. Unless you give it all away. Now think about that. You'll take all your experiences, all your walk with me, unless you give it away. All my bringing up of the children, good times and bad, when the Lord helped me through, as well as Wendy. You'll take all that with you if you don't give it away. You must give it all away. Otherwise, the church will be at a loss. They'll lose out. And it's the same for us all. You all have experiences. You all have your times with God. You all have something in your life that someone else needs. And if the Lord called you home and you hadn't given it away, you take it all with you. And the church will be the less for it, really. So it's handing down to the next generation. He also said, the writing does get bigger, honest. He also said, two things are needed. One, I've got to be keen to give it away. And two, it's got to be somebody that wants it. So for instance, we have, and the Lord told me to do this, Chris Hall. He said, we have Chris Hall in church who loves my word, who loves the word of God. There has to be somebody that wants to go to him and say, can I sit with you and, you know, talk to you about the word of God? From the next generation down, or perhaps two generations down. Will you look at one another and see what you have and share it and want to receive it as well? Yes? Right. So the next generation leads us on quickly to honour. So God's plan is something very precious in the world, and that's the body of Christ. Dictionary says honour is to regard with deep respect, to confer a mark of distinction on something, to accept or make a payment in respect of a bill. Honour. And the world honours some strange people sometimes. You've got some silly bits of honouring in the world. Excuse me, now I'm going to blow my nose. That's because I've got slightly emotional. Okay. Many of us honour the Queen, and we honour those that have died in the wars. Their name liveth forevermore. And rightly so. There are things that we really do honour, and we should. Honouring this wonderful body of ours here. Well, of course, we honour leaders. And we should honour older people. I remember the 1932 Club, Leviticus 19, verse 32. Stand up in the presence of the elderly and do them honour. Yes! But, you know, there's bringing up children in the honour and nurture of the Lord. Parents, attitude, world government. And honour for ourselves, too. Because we are the workmanship of Christ, of God. Jesus has the greatest respect and honour and love for you lot here. He doesn't forget us. He loves us. I now have a scripture to read. I will read it through. Showing honour. It's in Mark 12, verse 41, it starts. Jesus was sat down and he was near the offering box. And he was watching all the people dropping all their coins. Many of the rich would put in very large sums, but a destitute widow walked up and dropped in two small copper coins, worthless, worth less than a penny, really. Jesus called his disciples to gather around. And then he said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given a larger offering than any of the wealthy, for the rich only gave out of their surplus, but she sacrificed out of her poverty and gave to God all that she had to live on, which was everything she had. That is the Passion Translation. I haven't got the Passion Translation. I actually usually use New King James, but I like that one. It's wonderful teaching in there. He was teaching in the temple courts when this incident happened with the widow. We know nothing about her except that she was a widow. We've got no name. She's unimportant and she's not noticed, and she's putting in something that's more or less worthless into the offering because it's so small. Jesus actually makes sure his disciples around him. Come on, come close, come close. Something I want to say about her. And he honors her. He honored her then, and she's been of it ever since, because what she did is in the Word of God. We still don't know who she was, and we don't know even if Jesus spoke to her or not. It impressed the disciples, and it was important to the Holy Spirit, because he made sure it was in God's Word. So it might be good to look again at who Jesus honored and how he treated people, how he honored God's Word, and how he honored people. So I feel that's two things that he wants to say to this church, really, that we should honor one another and we should honor the Word of God. The best way to honor the Word is actually to read it, to meditate on it, to love it. It's our life, and Jesus is the Word made flesh. Which leads me on to revival. I've got a definition for that. It goes like this. Reviving is what is alive, however weak, into vibrancy again. So revival is what is alive, however weak, into vibrancy again. Because people are attracted to life. And that's Jesus, isn't it? Yeah. We are being revived now. You can see it. So we need to be aware of this. We need to be aware of the time we're in. Don't let it pass you by. We need to be aware and alert that God's on the move. All right? We are being revived, and he wants the life to come up again and again and again till it's bubbling out so that we more or less can't contain it. You know, when God said arise and shine, he meant exactly that. He didn't want us to carry on as we've been. All right? When you arise, you get up and you take up the bed you've been lying on, whatever that represents, and you walk. You shine, you be who you are. Why do you shine? Because God's light is on you. Why is God doing this? Because Jesus, the light of the world, has come. So he told me quickly to look at us here. We've got loads of meetings. Monday music, Tuesday prayer, Wednesday River Tops, house group. Home groups Thursday, Friday, Pursuit, Fortnightly, Barbecue, Messy Church, Prayer and Prophetic, Children's Services, Southwest Leaders, B1 month, bi-monthly prayer meetings all over the place, Messy Church Planning, Directors, Rock Prayer Meetings. There's a lot going on, and I'm sure I've missed out loads. So the Lord said to me, look at Sunday morning meetings. when mostly all people come. So here we go, Sunday morning meetings. 8:30, the PA come, and it's usually Joe Tyler. I think it was Joe Tyler this morning, and it can be Joe as well, and there are others in training. So being as it was Joe Tyler this morning, Joe Tyler came at 8:30, and so did Jesus. Because Jesus lives in Joe Tyler by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has been here when Joe Tyler walked in since 8:30. 8:45, the worship team comes here, and along comes Jesus again with the worship team. The worship team worships and practice, and Jesus listens, and he probably joins in. 10 o'clock, the AV person comes here, roundabout, and Jesus. 10 o'clock onwards, we've got prayer people start arriving to pray in the cafe or bistro room, and Jesus. 10 o'clock, the meeting leader, Dave Caron, and a few others now are arriving, and Jesus. 10 o'clock, if it's communion, Wendy's here, and she was this morning. And if she's not doing communion, she's in the prayer meeting, and Jesus. The welcome team come, and Jesus. At 10:25, we've got the countdown, roughly. And at 10:30, the service starts, and Jesus. He said, "There am I in the midst anyway," so he's here anyway. But he's been here since 8:30 when the first person walked in. The importance of greeting and the way we should enter then. That's what I'm going to look at quickly. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Yes. So now we're in Luke. And this is, we're in Luke. Jesus had just been talking to the crowds around him about John the Baptist. And one of the Pharisees named Simon asked him to come and share a meal with him. And this is what happened. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him, she was at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." I like this. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Teach me. Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both." Where am I going from here? Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, "Suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? Do you see her, really see her? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So Jesus is here. He said he would be since 8:30. God is love. So is Jesus. So is the Holy Spirit, who spreads the love of Jesus inside us everywhere. But did you know that God the Father, who is love, loves to be loved? Jesus, who is the image of the Father, loves to be loved. And the Holy Spirit, who shares the love and presence of Jesus with us all, loves to be loved. That's why they want a relationship with you all and with me. So on a Sunday morning, we've chosen here, this place. We've chosen to meet him here. If we weren't choosing to meet Jesus here, we wouldn't be here. You know, there's no point in us being here. Right? So, this is what I felt. Greeting Jesus and greeting each other. I'm just going to read a couple of things. All the letters in the Word of God, or many of the letters in the Word of God, contain things like this. All the friends here say hello, pass the greetings round with holy embraces. Finally, beloved friends, be cheerful. Repair whatever is broken among you as your hearts are being knit together in perfect unity. Live continually in peace, and God, the source of love and peace, will mingle with you. Don't forget to greet and embrace one another with a sacred kiss. Hello, everybody. Holy embraces all around. All the churches send their warmest greetings. The Passion Translation says that Jesus said to Simon, you didn't even welcome me with the customary kiss of greeting. So it was a custom. Okay. But Jesus wasn't greeted with that. And what I felt the Father say to me really was this. Jesus wasn't greeted, so he sent a woman that did it. He sent along a woman who came and fulfilled, gave the need that Jesus had that time. Jesus missed it. He missed the hug. So God provided it for him. Sent that woman along who is in Scripture as well as the other woman. We're talking about revival, and I've nearly finished. If we look hard enough at it, at revival or a move of God, because we've seen some moves of God in history, somewhere in the background, there will be people who have prayed, sought God, listened to him, followed his instructions, obeyed him, wanted their minds transformed. There will be a remnant somewhere, a group of people, large or small, who have done this, and God has answered. Revival has come. We are a church looking for this. We are in the beginnings, being revived into the deep life of Christ again. Everyone is included. Everyone has a baton to give to the next generation, to give away what you have. Everyone should be honoring one another. We want revival, don't we? Yeah. Well, it says don't stop attending church. Don't stop attending, gathering together. especially in the tough times. You'd be surprised how many times, if times get tough, the first thing we do, we don't want to go to church. That's when we should go. So what do? We've been looking at just Sunday morning. So when we come to church, come with the intention of giving yourselves time to greet Jesus and greet each other properly. You see, if we come in and we're all here at 10:30, we're all late. Because we can't hug one another. We can't bless one another because the service has started and the leader is out the front and we really should be sitting down and doing the service. If we want to encourage one another, we do what it says in Scripture, which is greet one another with a holy kiss or an embrace or a handshake. How are you doing? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. We encourage one another. Okay, it's all very well saying Bruno hugs everybody, but is he the only member of this church? You know, if we get here at 10:30, we're late. And if we get here at 10:30, we can't sit down and say, Jesus, thank you. I want to thank you that I can come here again this week. I want to thank you that this opportunity is here. Jesus loves to be greeted, so we might as well do it properly and with conviction. We are the body of Christ in God's race, wearing armor, standing in the race, honoring, passing on our love, passing on our giftings to the next generation, whichever generation that is for you and me, greeting each other as we continue to attend the gathering of ourselves together. And I would love it if we could offer up Sunday mornings as a special gift to Jesus. Amen.